Today I want to urge you to follow your excitement. Joseph Campbell is well known for saying, follow your bliss. That could be an excellent idea if you know what your bliss is. I don't. But I do know what excites me, and I bet you know what excites you. Think of it like this. Some image of a condition excites you. It could be an image of physical health, a slim and trim body, a large balance in your checking account, a published book, a business you started succeeding greatly, a home that you are proud of, work that gives you great joy, etc. That image is a potential manifestation like a fruit on a tree branch before the blossom even appears. And like the fruit tree, the flow of energy to the potential manifestation, your goal or the fruit in this example, is what draws and causes the growth that turns into manifestation. Contrast the difference between doing a job you love and doing a job you hate. There's a big energetic difference. It's easier to flow energy to a loved job. Hating a job is another way of saying you are resisting that job. A resisted energy flow is vastly different from an unrestricted, wholehearted energy flow. Some people may take what I just said and interpret it this way. Oh, shit, I'm only going to do what excites me and I will ignore the rest. That is not the best approach to living life for a couple of reasons. First, I say that a person who can turn a have-to into a want-to has an almost magical power to manifest desirable results. Second, to engage only with comfortable, convenient, and gratifying activities passes up the opportunities for growth. And it also is giving away power to the external circumstances and conditions. Think of excitement as sparks that can grow into a powerful light and fire. When we're excited, the sparks are already there. Trying to start a fire when there are no sparks and the conditions don't lend themselves to starting a fire means we will have to work extra hard to get started. As we put our attention on something that excites us, we're actually transmitting that energy to the object of our attention. As we transmit, we draw in more energy from our source. We translate it uniquely according to our own consciousness, and we keep sending it to the object of our attention. This process is the process of creating anything and everything in our lives. What excites human beings? Growth, being nurtured, learning through experience how to produce desirable effects. We want to see if we can do it. So we are excited by the idea of challenges. The desirable effects include making ourselves feel good about ourselves, making others feel good about us and about themselves, and creating, building, manifesting the images we had in mind. We can even be excited about increasing our own awareness of the reality of living. You already know that a focus on one thing can obscure the sight of another thing. A person that is focused on the path of excitement will see obstacles in a completely different light than a person focused on the obstacles. That second person is more likely to run out of steam because they are not tending to the fire of their excitement. I say to my wife, Catherine, regularly, I'm so glad that we work out at the gym together. These feelings indicate my excitement that we are committed to and disciplined on our path of self-care. Feeling good about what we are doing tells us we are on the right path. In this way, we use emotions to reinforce our decisions and keep ourselves on track. I'm excited about qualigevity. Qualigevity is my word that integrates quality of life with longevity. You can have longevity by being on life support with tubes in every orifice and machines maintaining the appearance of life. That is not qualigevity. I'm excited about the prospect of actualizing what Jesus said, and these and even greater things will you do. I take that statement literally. And I'm excited at the possibility that I can elevate my level of awareness to the point that that statement becomes true for me. I'm excited that I can overcome my fears, my sense of being split, my doubts, my sense of separation. I'm excited at the prospect that I can become skilled at causing desirable effects for myself, for my family and friends, and for the world. I'm excited that I have these games to play, and my success, or lack of success, is determined by me. I'm excited that a life that I want can be created by me if I align with my source of being. That is certainly exciting. The other day in a YouTube video about course creation, Miles Beckler quoted a famed online marketer, Frank Kern. Everyone is trying to move from one place to another place. They are going from where they are to where they want to be. I am suggesting that we choose the path marked My Excitement. But experience, and just by observation, I can see people are chasing energy patterns trying to fill a void in their identities. They aren't on a path. They are trying like a drug addict to get a fix for their feelings of not enoughness. Using Donald Trump as an example, you can see a pathological need for approval. He seeks attention to a degree that is unknown to normal people. His lies and exaggerations are attempts to make himself appear bigger, better, more impressive than anyone ever in the history of the world. In other words, he chases attention and validation to fill some existential hole in his soul that he has. It is true that most of us will seek comfort, convenience, and gratification unless we become aware of a higher inspiration, a clearer vision of what we can be and do in this life. It is similar to changing our physical diet from junk food and diet sodas to real, natural, nutritious food. Comfort, convenience, and gratification may feed the human ego, but we will want to wake up to the real need to feed our souls. Where should we look to find what excites us? Using some ideas from Christ's Returns Reveal Startling Truth can give us direction. In the prayer from letter 8, one line says, I know it is your will that I shall be fully illumined, that I may better receive awareness of your presence within and around me. To understand and experience our source of being sounds exciting to me. Out in the desert after the baptism by John, Jesus became aware of how God, divine consciousness, cares for the well-being of its creations. Since these caring flows of creative, loving, intelligent power are for our benefit, and divine consciousness works for us, in us, and through us, it makes sense to me that these flows are the paths of our potential excitement. If you examine each concept, you will surely find exciting activities that engage your heart and your soul and your mind. Growth on all levels, nutrition, nourishment and nurturing, healing and repair, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, and the law of cause and effect all offer plenty of exciting opportunities for our growth and expression. It should be a simple matter of defining what you would like to experience in your own life, and then, by extension, what you would be excited to share with others, because that's how divine consciousness works in us, for us, and through us. Just think for a moment of one area, growth. What if you looked at growth in each of the 12 worlds? Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance. What, if anything, would you decide would be exciting for you to pursue and to develop your understanding and expression? Exciting doesn't necessarily mean easy. In fact, challenges are more exciting for us because we are compelled to answer this question, can I do it? Can I do it? We love to learn. It's built into us as living beings. Learning is an activity that fits beautifully into my energy model of life. We learn by acquiring energy. And that energy is information. We have to contend with the urge to protect and preserve our currently held beliefs by not allowing in other energy information that might disturb us. But as we grow, we develop skills at this ability to entertain an idea, at least initially, without accepting its validity. And then we can get to the point where we can make judgments as we translate this energy, going, yep, yep, this is valid, or no, I don't think this is true. This doesn't hold true for me. At which point, we can release it. But as we translate what we are learning, making it part of our structure of existing knowledge, we see how it fits into life, specifically our life. Then we express what we're learning, thereby increasing our facility with it, because we're making it more and more our own knowledge. We're personalizing it through the application of it. We express to cause desirable results. That continues the excitement. We acquire more information, energy about the effects that we have caused, and then using that feedback, we either adjust our expressions of actions or we continue just exactly what we were already doing. The worst that could happen is the feedback is felt by us to be so damaging to our identities that we quit trying to follow our excitement. Some of what we're learning will be found to be irrelevant or of little consequence to us personally. We will release it and let it go as unimportant. We will also be willing to release something once we've extracted all the value we can get out of it. And if you think of food and digestion and excretion, you could see that the body already knows how to do that. It takes in the food and beverages, and it processes it. It extracts the nutrition, the value from it, the energy, the minerals, and then we release what we can't use. And if we're successful in this process, we will arrive at closure where we are able to harvest the good feelings that we did the best we could in the moment based upon our level of awareness. And then, because we come to closure, we are excited and energized to repeat that cycle. We've won. We can take a victory, and then that power empowers us to continue to the next cycle. If I were to diagram a one-dimensional view of following your excitement, I would draw a sine wave. We would start at the lower place on that sine wave and work to move up to the higher points. Using the 10 emotional states as a metaphor for the stepping stones on our path, we would probably start at shame, thinking something is wrong with us. Maybe something is wrong with us because we're finally starting. We should have done this when we were much younger. Or something is wrong with us in the view of us climbing this mountain of consciousness. This is where too many people give up and quit because they believe these feelings of shame are valid and they are permanent. That's not true. What if shame is humility coming into our awareness? What if shame is protecting us from pride? Pride is a dangerous feeling that we already know everything there is to know before we have even started on the project. Apathy is a depressed state caused by the feelings of being overwhelmed by the complexity of the journey ahead. Physically, apathy appears to be a state of inactivity. But maybe it is the time when a person begins preparing their thinking for the long engagement. The person who misperceives a complex situation as simple and easy would start too soon. They would start prematurely, and they would be in for disappointment and pain. It's better to recognize a difficult circumstance and prepare appropriately. Grief is higher on the wave than apathy and shame. It's a reminder of the pain of loss when we didn't reach our goals, or we lost something that we did attain or obtain. Grief doesn't feel good, but it is a great teacher, reminding us of what we aspired to and what we can aspire to again. Fear is higher still. It can spur us on, or it can lead us into running away, back down the wave toward shame. If I asked you how fast you could swim, you would give me an answer. If I told you there's a shark in the water right near you, I bet your swimming speed would be much faster. That is the value of fear. Another value of fear is that it tells you very clearly to get more information. Fear accompanies uncertainty. Awareness reduces uncertainty. And by extension, it reduces fear. Instead of shutting down our information processing capabilities, fear should be interpreted as the need to heighten our capability to process more, not less. Lust or craving is above fear. This is the physical or almost physical sensation of, I gotta have it. The clear image of the goal feels visceral. These feelings can enhance the drive to keep pursuing your goals and continue on the path. Anger follows lust up on the wave. It is the marshaling of energy to stop a condition from continuing or from starting in the first place. Used properly, anger will only temporarily be focused on the problem and then quickly shift back to the accomplishment of the goal you have in mind. Anger can be transmuted into real positive forward power. Pride is the next step upward, but it is a slippery step. Hence the saying, pride comes before the fall. Pride inflates our sense of self and obscures what is right in front of us. We can miss important indicators that tell us what to do and what not to do. If we pay attention and realize we have reached this step, stop. Review and reevaluate what you believe to be true. Recheck your facts and your beliefs, and then quickly jump up to the next step, courageousness. Courageousness is a place of enthusiasm, a childlike fascination with exploration and discovery. It's highly energized and attractive to other people, and those other people are much more likely to be eager to support you on your journey. In this step, courageousness, you have the access to a tremendous amount of positive energy, your own, that which flows from the divine, and that which flows from the divine through other people to you. Acceptance and peace follow. Those feelings are exactly what the words imply. All the pieces have been coming together, and that has been true since you took the first step on your journey. You accept that, and peace of this knowingness elevates you to the highest point on the wave. And you could look forward to the next cycle of this process as you decide on the next goal in your development that following your excitement will reveal to you. I'm going to recite the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth. I've pluralized it. And you can listen to the support that is available as you follow your excitement. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.